Get Talent Podcast.
Have a little fun. Danny, I once heard A players recruit A players, B players recruit C players. You ever heard that?
I don't even know what that means.
I think I heard it. Yeah, I'm not sure if I heard it or I said it, but yeah.
I think you told me that.
I think I might have told you it. I'm not sure. It's hard to tell anymore because we've been working so much together, but...
It's hard to tell who told who what.
Yeah.
Around here.
But yeah, that was great. That was great. I mean, whoever said it, what did we say? That A players hire A players and B players hire B players.
No, A players hire A players, B players hire C players.
What? So you said it, definitely.
Yeah. Did I say it? I didn't say it. I thought that was eye-opening. And you know what? As we worked with more and more talent folks, we see that that is indeed the case. And we can get into why that is and everything. But really, today, let's talk about how to hire A players.
Yeah,
that's what every organization wants, right? You ask CEOs of every organization, right? And they'll tell you they want all A players. Now, do they go out and hire all A players? No, they do not. But they say they want it. So let's give the people what they want.
Thank you.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, yeah. Danny, what is an A player?
Yeah, so an A player, you know, I think it's going to be, of course, different at every company. So what constitutes an A player? But an A player is really... just another way of saying a high performer or top performer. And from what I've been reading, it's about 10% of the market, you know, of talent is considered to be an A player. And generally at your company, you know, on average, you'll find about 10% of people in your company are considered A players. With
so
the rest,
really, yeah. So really, like, you're taking like a bell curve approach to this. Like, so statistically, no matter how amazing your company is, only the top 10% can really be considered A players. So I guess you can't statistically have 100% A players at your company, but you can recruit other people's A players to maybe become your B players. I guess.
And that's the thing. Every company is going to have different types of people because not everyone wants to be an A player. But that's okay. I mean, you know, this is what I've read, you know, A players are high performers, B players are average, and C players below performers. Obviously, no company wants C players.
How do you find, more importantly, maybe, how do you find those A players? I'm assuming you can just go on, you know, LinkedIn or Indeed or ZipRecruiter and just put up an ad and the top 10% of your applicants will inevitably be A players. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean,
no, that's not right.
Houston, we have a problem.
It's not right.
Not right.
Always do that. We, you know, when it comes to, you know, A players or finding A players, that's why we're in business, because it's very hard to do. I think using, you know, obviously plugging what we do selfishly, using a recruiter is definitely a strategy, and it's a good strategy, especially a recruiter within your market or specializing in your market, which is what we do. We recruit within the global mobility industry.
That specialism is so key. Why is that specialism key? Because we talk to clients all the time like, oh yeah, we use Robert Half or we use Cielo or we use blah, 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 you know, generic recruiting company. Why is it important that your recruitment firm has a specialism in your industry?
I think the best way to understand what an A player is to really be really knowledgeable in your market. So that way you know what characteristics are needed for that person to be considered to be an A player.
Yeah, I agree. And I look at it like, you know, if you're talking, the best way to find an A player is to talk to a whole bunch of people that do the same thing.
Exactly.
And one of them is going to stand out to you. One in 10 is going to be like, wow, now that one right there. I mean, it's the reason why we interview people in bunches, right? It's the reason why the whole interview process is let's get a whole bunch of people together in like a 1 week period and then boom, 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 back to back to back, asking all the same questions and see which one stands out, you know?
Yeah.
And I think for us, we're talking to global mobility professionals all the time. We're talking to tax professionals, immigration professionals, you know, RMC professionals, corporate folks. We're talking to these people every single day, multiple times per day. The cream rises to the top, and you can easily spot an A player in the bunch. And then it's our job to take those A players and build a portfolio of that talent who is open to moving.
Yeah.
And then that's really what we trade in. Yeah. We trade in A players solely.
Exactly. That's really the expectation. Whenever we send a candidate to a client, the assumption is it's really only going to be an A player. And that's our goal. But
should clients, let me ask you, should clients use recruitment firms to recruit their B's and C's?
You know what? They should actually. Depends on the need, right? Like I was saying before, you don't always necessarily need an A player. So yeah, I think there are times where a client might want to recruit somebody to fill a gap, but they don't necessarily need them to be, you know, a 10 out of 10.
I would respectfully disagree.
What?
I'm gonna play devil's advocate on my own question here. I don't think people should waste their time and money using recruiters to hire B and C players, unless it's in a super niche industry. Because I feel like if you want a C player, God help you. But if you want a B player, can't you put that on LinkedIn and see what happens and get a B player that way?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you can put that on LinkedIn, and that's probably a good strategy to find the B player. Find maybe someone, your average employee that's actively looking. Look, we talk about all the time that our clients use us to find passive candidates. Those passive candidates are the ones I would say that are considered to be the A players.
They're not A players are typically a passive candidate. Explain to people what a passive candidate is for people that don't know what passive candidates are.
Yeah, so a passive candidate is somebody who's not open to new opportunities, new jobs, not actively looking, doesn't usually have a resume put together, isn't networking with others about finding a new job.
Why aren't they networking with other people about finding a new job? It seems like everybody should always be networking with people.
You should, but a lot of these high performers are really happy in their roles and they're kind of closed to new opportunities. I know a lot of people will say, hey, like you said, right? Even the A players will say to me sometimes, hey, I'm always open to an opportunity. But you know what? They might say that. But if someone's doing really well and they're really happy in their job and they're growing and recognized for it, you know, they might not be as open as you think.
Successful people are engaged, and engaged people are successful.
Oh, well.
And so those folks are showing up every day, head nose to the grindstone, getting it done because they love their work. And because they love their work, they're very good at what they do, you know. And the key thing for us is to get those people to work for you. Right. Yes. Is to take those people from over here where they're being amazingly successful and transformational and get them to say, well, maybe this isn't perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
mm-hmm.
there's more out there. Maybe there's better culture, a better, you know, retirement scheme where I can have equity in the company. Or maybe there's a team that's doing something that I've never even considered, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's really where we come in and we're valuable. So I said I was going to play devil's advocate and disagree with you. And now I'm going to actually play devil's advocate on my devil's advocate and actually agree with you.
Oh, my gosh.
Because if only 10% of people can be A players, while they might be an A player at one company, once we recruit them to the new company, they might be part of the 90% that's not an A player.
Yeah. That's a great point.
And I think that's where every CEO wants their high performing organization to be is to say, let's always be challenging one another. Let's always be, you know, a rising tide, which lifts all ships, right? Let's always be infusing the talent pool with A players from other organizations where there's diversity of thought. There's new ideas. There's new ways of doing things. They're very skilled and high performing over here. Let's bring them into our organization and let's challenge kind of the status quo and innovate, right? And then now that pushes it. Maybe they're an A player. Maybe they're an A player on our team. Maybe they're not. But maybe they're a lot better than the B's that we had. Now those B's become C's. You know what I mean? And so you're always trying to infuse your organization with great talent from the industry. Mm. That to me is the most ideal situation possible. But A players are not cheap. Right? Is it like a salary cap situation, like in sports, where you only got so much dough to go around, so you're going to have to get some C's, some B's, and some A's and kind of sprinkle them together and just kind of hope you got the best mix and chemistry to make things happen? Or are A players worth the extra money? What's your thought about that?
Yeah, I definitely think they're worth the extra money because, you know, I read also that it was, I think an A player is like 50% more productive than a average or low performer.
That 50% more productive. Now, production equals profit. Mm-hmm. So if you say that A player is 50% more profitable and you're paying that A player 20, 30% more, you're still seeing a marginal 20% there. Mm. That's the way I look at it.
Wow, that's good stuff.
Right, you're still, right. So you're saying because of the cost of the employee, it's going to kind of average out to...
Not average out, you're still ahead, right?
You're still ahead, yes.
So if somebody, so if you're paying 130 and somebody's giving you 150, you still made a profit.
You still made it, yes.
Whereas if you go after a C, you know, if you settle for a B, C player and you're paying them 100 and they're giving you 80, you're losing 20. And I think that so often we look at budgets as fixed expenses and we don't look at upside.
Right.
And I think that that is the biggest miss in leadership when they're thinking about talent, is we look at them as a cost and we don't look at them as a profit center. Show me a company with zero employees and I'll show you a company with $0 of revenue. Wow! You just can't make money without people. Now, somebody's going to probably get in the comments or something to say there's an algorithm out there, there's some AI or some whatever. Fine. Right. Maybe you're right. 1% of the companies have zero employees and are extremely profitable. They're soon to be investigated by the IRS. Fine. But 99.9% of companies need people to make money.
Absolutely.
And so why not get the ones that are going to make you the most?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Exactly. Let me ask you a question. How important is it as, say, a business owner or a hiring manager to be an A player yourself? Do you think that's something you should get sorted out first before you start hiring A players?
If we believe what we said at the top of the show, right? We were talking kind of backstage and we were saying A players hire A players, B players hire C players, right? So if we truly believe that, then it's hard for a B player to hire an A player. And it's hard because they're intimidated.
Right.
Maybe they're invested.
The B player is, yes.
B player, yeah. Maybe they're invested in the status quo. Maybe they made the status quo. Maybe they got the status quo trophy 5 quarters running.
Right. That's what they're, that's their thing.
Yeah,
right.
And they're shining that status quo trophy up on their desk. You know, it's sitting on their credenza behind their Zoom calls all the time, that status quo trophy. And then you got A player coming in here and says status quo doesn't matter anymore. So I think that's one of the reasons why it's hard for hiring managers who are B players or C players to hire A players. Mm. A lot of times we see this where C players are actually doing the hiring in organizations. And it's super hard because they'll say, well, but the salary requirements are only, you know, 80 to 100. You couldn't possibly pay somebody 120. And then you talk to the hiring manager who's an A and they're like, 120, no problem. I'll do them 120 and then I'll give her a bonus of this. She can total on target earnings of 150, you know, because what she's going to bring to the table is going to transform our business.
They see that, right.
The A players
can see that. That's a big thing.
Too. Exactly. But unfortunately, the C player is the one controlling the pipeline, the talent pipeline. And that, to me, if I'm a CEO, is a very scary proposition.
Absolutely.
Right? Because they're not thinking entrepreneurially. And it's okay, because we know that that's not their skill set to think entrepreneurially. But I think that's why it's super important for talent to be a top-down problem in an organization. I think the CEO has to be involved in the talent discussion. The best client partnerships we have have executive sponsorship in the organization. Mm-hmm. You don't just send a rec off to, you know, the job board, post it, and just catch what you catch. You know, that's no kind of way to fish. You know, dragging a net is no kind of way to fish. You know, you go out there with some good bait and some skilled and a skilled angler, and you go catch that mighty mahi mahi. That's the way I look at it. Yeah. So, you know, I think to answer your question, I think it's very important that you have A players recruiting A players. Now, you don't always have time. Your A players are out there changing the world, you know, transforming the business. But I think at some point you have to have an A player stakeholder in the process. I also think that if an A player's first interaction with the organization is with a CB player, it could be a turnoff.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right?
You know, because A players like working with A players.
And they like to be challenged.
They like to be challenged.
They're usually a little bit more, they have a competitive side to them. You know, they want to be the best. Not all of them, but
they like to be stimulated too, right?
So if you're talking to, they almost want, an A player might want to talk to an A plus player, you know?
Yeah. Give me something to reach for. They didn't become an A player by accident. They've been striving their whole career, right? And so you need to reach. You know, it's funny as we were building the recruitment business, right? You know, I was listening to a lot of recruitment podcasts about building recruitment businesses, you know? And one of the things was, they're like, if you're gonna recruit recruiters, you need to have someone in that office who's billing way more than the recruiter you're gonna recruit. Right. They need to come in and see, you know, and see Alec Baldwin from Glengarry Glen Ross up there, you know, with the Rolex and the Cadillac, and say, I want to be that person right there.
I'm rich.
Because they need to strive for something. They need someone that they can look up to and say, I want to be like that person, you know, when I make it. Right.
Right.
And if they look around and they can't find anyone in that organization that they want to be like when they grow up, they're in the wrong room.
Right.
Right. One of my favorite sayings, somebody told me this, they said, you know, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. If you're the richest person in the room, you're in the wrong room.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you got nothing to gain by being in that room. You know, you can give a lot. And if you're there to give, that's great. That's called volunteer work. But if you're in there to learn and to grow and to further your career, you're in the wrong room. So it's exceedingly important, I think, that A players we introduce to the organization interact with other A players from the organization.
I think that's a great point. I think that's actually a good thing to pick up on as a hiring manager or a recruiter. Is A players, to me, they could be more humble. You know, they could be they don't have the ego that the B player or the C player might have. You know, you might know that they're the best, right? But they might not even say it. So, which is sometimes
interesting,
you know.
So they don't take that prototypical alpha approach.
Confidence.
They come in.
Yeah.
Their confidence is more of a quiet confidence.
Not all of them. Not all of them. But I would say if you see someone who's maybe a little bit more aggressive, a little bit more brash, you might think to yourself, oh, it's like, this is the characteristics that make an A player. But I think what you're saying is more important is someone who is open to learning. And someone who's gonna say, "What? How can I get better from that person? I'm not there yet. Like, how can I get better?" The B or the C, my player say, "Hey, I'm already here. I don't need to learn from this person. I'm already here."
Yeah.
So I think you start to, as you start to interview people, you probably start to see patterns in your organization of who those people are.
Yeah, and it's so critical for us. I mean, we're dead in the water if they're not impressed with the organization that we're pitching, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how often? I mean, that's like for me the hardest part. You know, if I call a candidate and I'm like, "Yeah, I got this great job, pays you know X, you know, super, you know, it's great, you're gonna love it." I'm like, what's the name of the company? I don't worry about that. I want to talk about the job. I want to talk about what's going on in your life. And they want to know what the name of the company is, who it is. Because also there's niche industries and people in the industry know the other companies in the industry and they have employment brands and they're going to say, you know, is this a company I want to work for? And it's super critical for us at Glomo, you know, just speaking for our company, right? My company is like, if we have to represent amazing employers because that's what we're selling to the talent. So yeah, we're selling A players over here to our clients. but we're selling our clients in a big way to the A players. And A players are picky. They are super picky. I mean, I know some of them that have their career plotted out for the next 10 years.
That's right.
They got a whiteboard in their house.
That's right.
And it's plotted out. And they know what they're going to do. And they're going to retire at 55. And they know every single step they're going to make.
Yes.
And it's got to fit that mold. You know, so it's super key that we're going to the market with amazing employment brands. And it's super key that we only partner with A companies.
Totally. Totally. And that's a great point. And would you say, like, how important is compensation when it comes to, we talked about money before, but, you know, do you have to pay above market for an A player? What if you're a business and you can't afford an A player? I mean, can you still get an A player?
All right. This is a great question, right? Because compensation is the most overrated and most underrated thing at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, what I would encourage everybody out there, every P&L manager, and this is where people are going to turn me off right now. I would tell everybody out there, pay above market. Whatever you think market is what market was, and pay above market. You will not, most people are just lazy hanging shingles out there on Indeed. You will not recruit A talent without paying above market. You can, but as a rule of thumb, you will not, especially if you're using lazy hiring methods. Now, if you got amazing recruiters like Danny and some other people out there I know, yeah, they could sell a B salary to an A person, right? Along with an A company, an A culture, an A career path, an A lot of things. But most companies out there need to be at least leading with compensation, which is the most obvious first foot forward. Now, you can pay people market and get A people. Sometimes A people are stuck in extremely toxic environments. Sometimes they just need out. Sometimes bad things happen to good people, right? And you might catch one, you might get lucky, but more often than not, you don't get lucky. The odds will catch up to you. And if you're paying market or below market, you know, it's gonna reflect in your talent pool, and then it's gonna reflect in your P&L is the way I look at it. I say always pay above market.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts, Dan?
I agree. You're not gonna get an A player without paying above market. I mean, especially now, right? During this time, especially we're just talking like today, the job market, you need to be paying above market to find the right talent. I mean, and I think you have to look at everything, not just compensation. You have to look at, flexibility, remote working, incentives are really big. So, you know, A players, you know, they will look for performance-based incentives a lot of times. So not necessarily, even if it's a salaried position, they might look for opportunities where they can make more money. So putting that in place to incentivize them is really important. There's a lot of things. I mean, now I actually spoke to a candidate who, you know, an A player who said, I will not go into an office 2 to 3 times a week. And a lot of companies are saying that's like their answer. You know what? You might have to look at that. If you want to get an A player, maybe the hybrid thing isn't the right model because you're going to miss out on them. So, I mean, there's a lot of things I think you have to look at, but compensation is probably the first place to start.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that's a great point about the work environment. I think that's a real X factor right now. Yeah, I think that's a real X factor. And that's also a reason that some companies have gotten lucky and picked up A players during the pandemic, right? Because another employer was asking them to come in, or another employer was taking a stance that they didn't agree with, right? So there was a lot of turnoffs, and I think that was a big driver for the great reshuffle, if you will, the great realization or resignation, if it were. So yeah, so I think those are excellent points, Danny. I would say this too. I would counsel, you know, and this isn't necessarily for recruitment managers out there. This isn't even necessarily for hiring managers. This is for the C-suite. This message right here is for the C-suite, because I'm not going to put this message on recruitment managers. Because recruitment managers is out there doing their job. CEOs, chief revenue officers, COOs, if you feel like you don't have it in the budget to hire A players, you need to charge more money for your service. You need to raise your prices so you can hire the best people. Because the best people will bring your product to market despite a premium price. there's a downward spiral of disinvestment and lower profit when you bring on B and C players. You bring on cheap people, they give you low effort, you have low margins, you bring on more cheap people, you get more low effort. All of a sudden, you become a low price option in the marketplace. You're competing on price. You are still losing because the people who are selling it are not A's, and you're losing to A players with higher prices. And I know your salespeople aren't giving you that feedback. Your salespeople are telling you that they're losing on price and price always has to be lower. But I'm here to tell you firsthand, it does not have to be lower. People do buy good quality product and services. So you need to bring on A people. You need to be proud of your service, and you need to charge more money, and you need to ascend into profitability and not descend into a lack of profitability. That's just my counsel to the C-suite, and I hope y'all hear it. And you know what? Hiring managers, if y'all don't have it in the budget, play this for your CEO, and they can call me, and I will tell them what we've done at Glomo. But I'm telling you, low pricing and poor pay is not the pathway to profitability.
Yeah, that's such great points. It's like, right, look at the services first. Look at what you're charging. Look at, once you get that in order, you know, then you have the freedom. Then you have the freedom to choose. That's right. So at this, before we kind of like close out, I thought it'd be good to talk about like some of the characteristics like hiring managers can look out for. I know we talked a little bit
about
it.
This is good. I want to hear your thoughts on this because to be honest with you, I always feel like I have a blind spot when hiring people because I'm like, I feel like anybody can do anything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you could do it if you put your mind to it. You know, so I always believe in people too much. But what are your thoughts? You talk to candidates all day long, every day. You have way more experience than I do. What are the key characteristics of A players in your mind, Danny?
I also, you have this tendency as a recruiter. You want to help everyone. You get excited about people. And yeah, it gets hard to discern. But there's like some kind of like some things I look for. So I wrote these down. The first thing I look for is someone who's driven. That's a very big thing. Do they have ambition?
What does drive look like? What does the ambition look
goals,
like? How do you quantify them?
Goals, ambition. To me, it's someone who's driven to be better, to improve. That's the way I look at it. Does this person want to advance? Do they want to grow? Do they want to be better? That's like number one for me.
What's a question you might ask that gets to that?
Yeah, I might say to them, I will ask them about, you know, what kind of, I'll usually look for their career trajectory. So what if, you know, when you started at a company, you know, tell me a little bit about the progression. So I want to understand the kind of the steps that they took. And by understanding the different steps that they took and their mindset around it, I'll be able to determine how ambitious or how driven or even how, you know, I guess you can do it passionate. That's another word you can do it, how much they care and committed to growing. So I can usually see that by, you know, what they've done in their job and just asking them, you know, what are the steps that they took? You know, you can ask them about their plans. What are your future plans? You know, that typical question why, you know, we ask this, right? A lot of hiring managers ask this, where do you see yourself in 5 years? You know, it's one of those questions that, you know, it's true. Like, where do you see yourself? What are your goals?
I agree with what you're saying. And I think looking for specificity in the answer, I think it was Elon Musk, one of those tech dudes that was like, I asked them how, you know, something they were proud of and how they did it. And the level of specifics that they get into will tell me if they really did it or not and how involved they were and how their brain thinks about the problem.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah. The next thing I look for, and our clients use this word, ambiguity. I also say adaptability. Mm-hmm. So how adaptable is a person to changes? Are they gonna be the type that's gonna help to go ahead and solve a problem? Are they gonna go to their boss and say, hey, we got this problem and really not do anything about it?
Oh,
I love this one.
Yeah,
this to me is the biggest difference between A and B. One of the biggest differences. Because there's really solid B players. You give them a task, they do it. You tell them what to do, Don't gotta tell them twice. They do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you don't know what to do. Who's out there doing it when they don't know what to do? To me, that's an A. Because anybody, you know, I don't say anybody can follow. C's can't follow. C, you'll give a C a direction three times and they'll screw it up. That's a C. A B, you give it to them once and they'll figure it out. An A, you don't have to give it to them at all.
Yes, they'll come to you. They'll come to you. And that's,
well, they'll go do it. They'll come to you and tell you what they did.
And that's
that comfort with ambiguity that you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They look at a problem, you know, and especially, you know, things are always changing, but they're able to see the problem and solve it, and with very little direction, and they're very proactive. You know, another thing is really simple, is hard work. It's simple, but there's no A player that doesn't work hard, in my opinion. I think it would be very hard to be an A player who doesn't put in effort and time into their craft or skill. It just doesn't exist.
Yeah, super interesting. Hard work. How do you suss out hard work in an interview question?
To me, the hard work, now everyone says, right, work smarter, not harder, you know, all that. But to me, it's nowadays, especially, like, is it like, oh, if you work 12 hours a day, are you a hard worker? I don't look at it that way. I look at it as somebody who is committed. So somebody who's committed to their company, to their purpose of the company, and they're willing to do, kind of go the extra mile.
Yes.
To achieve the result that they need to, and for the business and for themselves. So they'll go that extra step. And that's what I say, they'll do what's harder. They're not going to just work.
Yes.
They're going to do the harder work.
Yes. And so I love that you said that, because hard work is not quantity of hours. It is doing the thing that you don't want to do.
Yeah.
No one wants to do
the B players and the C players don't do that.
Yeah. I've heard people say, you know, you know, running into the fire, sticking, you know, in football, they say sticking your face in the fan, mm-hmm. right? Not avoiding difficult conversations, whether it be with clients or internally or whatever. And it's doing the hard thing. I heard I love sayings, if this hasn't become apparent yet. I think it was Mark Twain that said, if the job is eating a frog, eat it for breakfast. Right. Shout out to Rebecca Spencer. She's the one that put me on that quote. And another one is Kevin Durant says this all the time. He says hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And me, when you said work smarter, not harder, I smile because people have said that about me. And I actually I have a recommendation on my LinkedIn page from a recruiter who said that about me. And I mean, I do think that I work smart. I do sometimes think I don't work hard, but I think the thing about me is I'm willing to do things that other people aren't.
Yeah. And that's what I say the hard work is. It's not, you know, you worked 15 hours, that person worked 8 hours, but mm-hmm. that person with the 8 hours is doing the uncomfortable things. That's harder.
Yeah. Are you doing 2 podcasts? Are you out here like making, you know, cold calls? Are you out here putting yourself out there and being vulnerable? I mean, let's face it, the job is not laying brick. The job is not, you know, laying roofing shingles, right?
Right.
You know, the job is out here, you know, working in global mobility, relocation, doing office work, right? So
right.
How hard can it really be? It's really the intestinal fortitude to do
right.
things that you don't want to do.
Right. That's a good way to differentiate it.
Yeah. Sure. This is awesome. It's so interesting.
Yeah. This is great stuff.
Yeah. You got another one?
Oh yeah, let me see if there's another. Oh, well, this is actually, yeah, I think this is another one. This is what I really like. There was two more I looked. One was self-aware. I think that a lot of them know themselves, and I think a lot of them are aware of their emotions, how they're interacting with people. You know,
how do you gauge that? How do you gauge that in an interview?
You know what? It's an intuition that you get from the answers that they give you. It's like looking at the patterns of somebody who's said some things a certain way and you kind of look for that when you're speaking to other people, if that makes sense.
You know, so interesting you say intuition, right? And I tend to not like intuition because it's so fuzzy and squishy, and it's like, how do I productize that? How do I give that to somebody? How do you give someone intuition, right? We're trying to give people tips. How do you give them intuition? But what's interesting about what you just said is about self-awareness is if I'm coming off in a way that's distasteful to the person I'm in front of, then I lack self-awareness.
That's right.
I don't know how to present myself.
That's right. That's a simple way to say it. Exactly. It's you're not understanding the dynamics of the situation.
Yeah.
And everyone's, you know, like everyone's different.
Like if you wear a baseball cap to a podcast or something like that, you obviously are misreading the situation. Shout out to FC Dallas, my new favorite football club. Anyway, just kidding. What's the last one you got, Danny?
And the last one is, I would say, resilience, especially in recruiting, right? We see this, right? In sales, recruiting, and in our industry, you need to be resilient. You need to be able to, what we always say, right? You need to be able to fail and look at it and say, I got better.
Mm-hmm. That's what we say. When we fail, we screw up, we have a bump in the road, we say, we just got better.
Exactly. And I love that you say that because that helped me a lot in understanding that of the way an A player looks at it. An A player, they fail, they mess up, or whatever you want to call it.
Every day.
Every day.
All the time.
Exactly. Exactly. And
A players recognize they mess up every day, all the time. And they're self-aware enough to know that this does not define them. This only provides more information, more education, more experience to be successful in the future. And it's not how many times you get knocked down. It's how many times you get up, right? It's not the shots you miss. It's the shots you make. You know, and so it's all about kind of mindset, staying focused on the positive, being totally comfortable with ambiguity, being totally comfortable with making mistakes, being confident in those things and who you are intrinsically. I love your five things that characterize an A player. I think they're awesome. I think that they are actionable as well because you can interview for them.
Yeah.
And this has been a really good segment for me. If I'm a hiring manager, I'm listening to this, I'm writing these questions down, I'm looking for these things, and frankly, I'm calling you, Dan.
Awesome. I'm ready.
Awesome. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this a ton. This is the Get Talent Podcast. I'm Ben Cross, CEO of Glomo.
Danny Herskowitz, Director of Talent.
And we were going to be doing these podcasts all the time, so please hit us up, leave us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast streaming service, as well as any comments or questions. You can find us on LinkedIn, connect with us there, send us any questions you have or topics you want to hear about, and we'd be happy to talk about them. Right, Danny?
That's right.
Awesome. We will catch you next time on the Get Talent Podcast.
Thanks.
Hey, if you like the show today, please hit subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. We'd appreciate it so much. Also, feel free to connect with us on LinkedIn or check us out on glomo.com. Get Talent Podcast.